Welcome to Sarah Talks Tech Chat number 35. Tonight's program will be featuring Accessible Event, a product that makes meetings, webinars, classroom lectures, trade shows, and other events accessible to the blind, deaf, and deafblind members of the audience, class, staff, or anyone you're presenting with. I'm Janelle Schulenberg. I'm the product manager for Accessible Event, and I'm going to be walking through some basics this evening that will help you understand how Accessible Event works, and then I'll be giving you some instruction for how to pose questions and participate interactively. We're beginning tonight in a Word document, and I'm showing you a Word document from my screen, and everyone is seeing what is on the presenter's screen. The presenter's screen for a sighted individual will see just what I place on my screen. So if I only place one third of the document, that's what will be seen. If you're using a screen reader, however, you'll see the entire document throughout. Now, for those of you who arrived a little bit before I did, you received a welcome message. That welcome message can be customized by you, and you can also, for sighted attendees, add a logo or a photo or any graphics that you'd like on the welcome page. This lets people know that the event has yet to start and that they should stay on the line. The same happens at the end of the event. You can customize a message for people after the event has closed, and usually it would say something about letting them know that the event has concluded and that they can now close the window. And that can be customized to let them know whether or not they can come back and see the archive another time. All of the events and meetings that you hold at Accessible Event are archived for as long as the presenter determines. So if a presenter decides to delete it, it's gone. If the presenter decides to offer the same meeting code for another date, it will overwrite that archive. So you'll want to start a fresh meeting each time if you would like your meetings to be archived. If you would like to allow people to go back and see those archives, then you give them the same meeting code and let them know to choose view the archive. For some people, for such as university professors, they may want to choose to delete because they want to make sure that a student must attend class at the designated time in order to be part of that lecture. Now remember that accessible events work whether you're in the room or anywhere in the world. So if, for example, you've attended a trade show and there are breakout sessions and someone is showing a PowerPoint presentation in the room on the screen, if they're running accessible event in the background, you can see that PowerPoint presentation through your PDA or through your laptop, provided that you have internet access and you've downloaded Flash in that browser that you're using. Now we're looking at a Microsoft Word document. I'm going to switch us over and have us go into an Excel spreadsheet so you can see a little difference. And when I switch my document, then your document will also change over. If I don't switch over to my document and bring it to the forefront of the presenter's screen, then whatever's closest to the forefront is what's going to be viewed, or they'll be viewing what you left the screen at the last time you showed them. So we're now on an Excel spreadsheet. And when you are demonstrating any kind of a presentation where Excel is being used, a screen reader will see the entire document, whereas a sighted person will be seeing only those lines that the presenter is showing. So you want to be sure and be courteous as a presenter and let people know where in the document that you are. And by doing that, you can put headings across the columns, across the top, and you can put headings on the rows. That way you can let people direct them to the row based on the content in that row. If you are going to be using a PowerPoint presentation, you must run the PowerPoint presentation in slideshow mode in order for the attendees of Accessible Event to see it. So for you to participate in a PowerPoint presentation, I need to put it in slideshow mode and then again bring it to the forefront, make that be the primary thing that's on my screen. I call that giving focus to that document. Right now I'm bringing up a PowerPoint presentation that was presented at an event previous, and when I switch to a new slide, the screen reader should tell you that you're on slide 2 of 12, or however many total slides I have. And so you'll know exactly where the presenter is, and then they'll certainly be walking through it as well. Now, for if someone has partial sight or is sighted, they'll also see all of the graphics, all of the colors, the logos, you know, whatever is in that slide as well. If I bring up a website, You can go out to the web live and bring up a website that is for someone to do some research or to show them something on the web. And this is the kind of collaboration I like, because if you're working on a Word document together and you want to change line 3, you can all agree on what line 3 should be. And finish the document. The presenter would make the changes, but you can agree and finish the document right in the meeting rather than assigning an action item and having to come back later. Or if you need a statistic and you want to go out to the internet and grab that statistic, I'm currently just on the Yahoo homepage, but if you're grabbing some information from the internet and then you want to go back to your Microsoft Word document and place that information in it, then you can complete the document with the information. A lot of times what people will do with Microsoft Word documents is use it as the whiteboard. So if normally in a staff meeting you're going to be drawing with magic marker on a whiteboard, that would be inaccessible for some of the participants. But if you use the Microsoft Word document in Accessible Event, then that becomes the whiteboard, and whatever I draw on this whiteboard, you will be able to see. Now, there are a couple of other features I'd like to point out that may or may not apply to everyone in the audience, but it's just nice to know that they're there. One is that if you have participants who are deaf or deafblind, we have an option where you can hire a captioner, and the captioning would appear across the bottom of the screen. Now, there is an option on the screen that says allow captioning or do not allow captioning, because if you're using a screen reader, obviously you don't want it to read the captioning and you'll hear what I'm saying. It would be a duplication. So I'm going to just enter something. I have a second computer here and I'm just going to enter something in the caption box. As I post that caption, if anyone were to click on the Allow Captioning button across the bottom of the screen, then they would see what I've just typed, which I just typed Janelle is typing. But a true captioner can caption directly into the browser, or if they have some specialty equipment, they can connect through StreamText. And I can help anyone with that should you have any questions. Also, I can allow for people to pose questions. And for those of you who have screen readers, it's telling you that you can pose a question by clicking on that tab. When you choose that tab, you can pose a text question or you can pose an audio video question. If you want to type in your question, you can. If you want to record your question, you can. When you do that, it comes through to the presenter as an option. As the presenter, I can decide if I'm at a good stopping spot and I can take that question. I can decide if I don't want to allow questions at all. You know, if I'm presenting to 6,000 people, I'm not going to probably allow questions. But in a classroom, I would. And then when I get a question, I have the option of yes or no answering it. You can hold them to the end or answer them as they come in. The presenter has the option of enabling those questions, so I'm going to go ahead and do that in case any of you have questions, and you're certainly welcome to pose them. If somebody is using a Braille display, all of the Accessible Event materials will output to the Braille display, and if they want to, they can have half of it dedicated to the presentation and half of it dedicated to the captioning. There's also a video on your screen of me, and if you are not interested in seeing me, you can close that video option. And if you would like to place the camera on something other than the presenter, you can do that as well. I have a question coming in, and I'm going to accept it. We have a question from Jez Smith. Are the questions presented to the presenter in a list? They are not. They are currently coming to me in a box letting me know that there is a question, and they're coming to me in the order received, so I'm answering them as they're coming in. I'm going to answer the next one. I see 4 or so untagged links above the text of the document. What are those for? They are tagged, and those are options that say ask a question or shut off the video or allow captioning. If you choose the option of posing a question, then you'll see additional commands that tell you if you're going to do a text question, an audio video question, or you changed your mind, just cancel. A text question will then bring a box where you can start typing in, and that's how these people have posed their questions. Also, if you would like to record an audio video question, it is a recording. And that is so that the presenter has an option of not taking it right away. So you would record it, hit the record button, and then stop, and then send. And you also have the option of listening to it first if you want to hear how you sound first, and then send it in. And then I would open it just like we just did with the text questions, and you'd see the person and you'd hear their question. If they don't have a camera, you would just hear their question. Another question coming in. I think that those links are unlabeled in earlier versions of JAWS. They don't properly see the flash objects. Oh, you know what? This reminds me, Peter, thank you for bringing this up. Everyone needs to have the most current version of Adobe Flash downloaded in the browser they're going to be using for the accessible event. So when they download, it's a free download for those who don't know, and I believe the most current is 10. So when they download Flash 10, you must do it in IE or in Firefox or whatever browser you're going to be using. One thing to note also that Peter reminded me of is Accessible Event works with different versions of screen readers, not just Ciratex System Access, but with JAWS or WindowEyes or whatever version that you're using, as it also works with whatever browser you're using. If you are interested in opening up the floor to a live chat where everyone can speak openly as though they're in the same room, you can do that as well. Oops, I have a question. If a presenter reserves Q&A to the end, how would they go back through the questions if the questions are not in list form? Oh, good question. Right now, the questions are tallied in the order they're received. So when the presenter is ready to take questions, the way that you accept questions is a Control-Shift-Y for yes or a Control-Shift-N for no. Control-Shift-Y will start answering those questions in the order that they came in. I have another question. Please describe how to designate what is shown on a Braille display. That is a good question. I don't know how to specifically designate it, although I have been told that there are two rows and that the top row can be designated for the presentation and that the bottom row can be designated for captioning. But I know that my good friend Michael Loff is on the line and he's going to capture those questions for us. So we'll be sure to get that answer for you. Also, as you are having smaller meetings, I had started to say that live chat is an option for you, and it's the presenter's determination whether they're going to allow live chat. And when they do, everyone can speak openly as though they're in the same room. And that's more for if you have, you know, 10 or 12 people in a staff meeting, but you wouldn't want to open it up to the floor of hundreds like we have tonight because everybody would be speaking over one another. Does the presenter have the option to allow or deny specific types of questions if they only want text questions instead of audio? In that case, what I would do is, as the presenter, I would designate that to the audience verbally, but I would not have the option in my control panel at this time to say one or the other. If the person doesn't have a microphone or a camera, they're sort of self-selecting, but I could tell an organization, or if I'm in an organization or if I'm in a presentation of any kind, I could tell them that I'm only going to be accepting text questions today. Do another question. How can you as the presenter see how many people are at your meeting? Oh, great question. When I have launched the host, the background host for Accessible Event, I get a little control panel as the presenter, and I can open a list of the attendees, and I'll see a list of names of people attending based on what you entered when you first entered the accessibleevent.com and put in the code, and it asked you for your name. If you didn't put in anything, you'll show up as anonymous. So if you're going to be doing an event that's going to be, you know, 10,000 people and you have no intention of inviting questions, then you could give people a direct link to go straight to the event and not enter their name. Otherwise, you would prefer to have them go to accessibleevent.com, enter the code, and enter their name so that their name does come up when they have a question, like they are today. I've got lots more. Is this just a standalone program? And if so, how much does it cost? Okay, good question. And this came from an anonymous participant. That's why the name doesn't show. But this is both a standalone product and it works in conjunction with mainstream products. So if you are attending an event or have been invited to an event before where it's WebEx or Live Meeting or GoToMeeting or Connect, any of those sort of mainstream products, if the presenter would launch the Accessible Event Host and have the option for you to come in through Accessible Event, then that same exact meeting could be accessible to you. If 100 participants are going in through GoToMeeting and 100 participants are going in through Accessible Event, they're still having the same meeting. And I got a great example of this the other day from our CEO. It's the same thing as if the President of the United States was doing his speech on television and some people were watching it on one channel and some people were watching it on another channel. They're still watching the same program, just through different conduits. Pricing was also a question, and pricing is tiered, so I'm going to go through this kind of step by step, but I'm also happy to email it to anybody that would like this as a follow-up. The pricing starts off with, if you are going to have a pass to have one day of events, you can have up to 8 meetings that day, but they can't happen at the same time, so 8 meetings consecutively. And you can have up to 5 participants for $9.95. You can have up to 25 participants for $14.95. If you would rather buy a month's pass, that's $89, and that gives you every day of the month 8 meetings a day and 25 participants. And you can buy additional blocks of 25 participants for $10. If you want a year pass, that goes to $79 a month paid in advance for a year, which comes out to $948. If your company is one that requires that everything has to be on site on your own server, we do have an enterprise level option where you can buy it one time, own it forever, have as many people in as many meetings as you want to, and that's $50,000. And I can help you with that purchase. All your other purchases you can do right online at accessibleevent.com with a credit card or with a purchase order. Is there a list of participants? Yes, and I believe I covered it, but in case I didn't, the presenter has that list, so you can sort of take a roll call and know how many people and who signed in and who they signed in as. How is a blind presenter notified if there's pending questions? This is a good note. I'm getting a little tone every time there's a question. So there's a one-time tone letting you know there's a question, and then there's a pop-up box that tells you that you can answer those questions. This is coming in saying that when he's trying to record an audio question, he's not seeing the record and play buttons. On the audio video question option, when you click on that, if you do have the most current version of Flash downloaded and you have a microphone and you have a camera, then the first tab you'll see is record. When you click on that, then it knows that you're going to be doing the rest, and then the other options appear. Is there a comprehensive manual with Cirotech's other products? There is online at cirotech.com all of our products, and also at accessibleevent.com there is a user's manual and an FAQ and a brochure, and then a pre-recorded demo of kind of a staged staff meeting that's about 10 minutes that shows a couple of the features as well. And I'm back to the Yahoo homepage, and I'm bringing focus to that to make sure that we've all got that back now. Okay, and I'm seeing that I do on my second computer. This is a good point to note, too, is that when you are the presenter, you don't see exactly what the attendees are seeing. You're seeing whatever is taking focus on your screen. And so that's why I have a secondary computer not only set up as my captioner, but also set up so that I can get a glimpse of how quickly everything is coming through. Usually it takes about a little less than a second for the bandwidth to catch up. If I was going to have an instructional session with an employer and using GoToMeeting, then the employer would have to purchase this program. Oh, yes, this is a really good question, and this is kind of an ingenious way to use the product. We really think the onus really is on the presenter to make sure that their event is accessible. So I do believe that. However, we do have some students and some employees that are getting really clever about, they'll purchase it themselves and then create the event and then download it and send it in an EXE file to the presenter and ask them to please launch that. And that seems to be working well for people. Is there any way to get the screen reader to read the questions that are presented? The screen reader should be reading the questions that are presented when I bring focus to them, when I bring them to the forward most, but they are coming up as like a pop-up box that comes forward. So I know that on my secondary computer, my screen reader does read them when I bring focus to them. However, I will say also that I'm going very quickly this evening through the questions, and so I'm not individually bringing focus to the question, then back to Yahoo or whatever my previous document was. And so I may be causing your bandwidth situation to not catch up with me, so to speak. So right now I am back at the Yahoo page, and when I clicked on that, it took less than half a second for that to show up at the presentation side. So if I opened a question and then closed it too quickly before that half a second, it would not have appeared for you, if that makes sense. I wanted to bring up another point, and that is when you are looking at a document, for those who are partially sighted or sighted, if you want to change the size of the font, the presenter can do that at their end, and I've got a font on here that is a little bit larger than probably mainstream users would probably use, a number 10 or a number 12, and I'm using a larger font. But if you're not using Zoom text and you want something larger, you can adjust it on your end, or you can suggest to the presenter that they use, you know, 14 or 16 point type as well, and would help. Got another question. When you accept an audio question, is it played to only the presenter or also the audience? It is played to everyone. And so when I bring up a question that is an audio video, it is pre-recorded and then sent to me. So when I open it and bring focus to it, everyone will see the person and hear the person. Screen readers will not always read questions automatically. However, each user can arrow up and down to read the screen at any time. This is good help from our friend Richard Wells. Can you ask an audio question if you only have a microphone and not a camera? Yes, to my understanding, it should come through as an audio question alone, and then we would just see a blank white place where the person's visual would have been. And I have tested that feature with a couple of clients, customers, and that has worked. I don't know if it matters what kind of microphone, but I suppose everybody's equipment is a little bit different. Is the video able to be turned off and on during the presentations? Yes. When you're in a presentation, the video, for those who are partially sighted and sighted, the video takes up a portion of your screen and remains on the screen unless the attendee shuts it off. And by shutting it off, then it moves the rest of the presentation into that space, and so you have greater real estate for that screen to see the presentation. You'll want to remember that you need to put the PowerPoint presentation in slideshow mode each time you come back to it. Based on whoever you invite to these meetings, they're going to have a variety of internet access, a variety of equipment. So if you are doing one-on-one training, you can certainly speak more openly about what their needs are prior to the event. But if you're inviting a large group, you want to be aware that a lot of upfront information is helpful. Reminding them to download Adobe Flash in the browser they're going to be using. Some of those kinds of things are really helpful. And do let them know that microphones and cameras are optional as attendees. They will be able to text in their questions. When attempting to use the audio question feature, the Flash area is blank with JAWS version 10 and the current version of Flash. We want to make sure that we're working for every version of every product out there, because universal accessibility is so critical to all of us at Cirotech. We're also testing everything we can with all those versions all the time, so we're always happy to learn of any little nuances we may have not been experiencing in our testing. So we thank you for that. After a chime, is the screen reader automatically supposed to read the screen? I wonder if you mean by chime, if you're hearing my chime, if you're talking about when a question is posed. When it's posed and comes in, I hear the chime, and then the screen reader will read to me the little box, but I have the option of answering or not answering by this instruction. It says, an attendee is asking a question. Please press Control Shift to handle the question or control shift N to reject it. So that's what your screen reader will tell you if you put it on the box that pops up after the chime. Otherwise, you can just memorize control shift Y and answer the question that way. When questions are presented, you can use your screen reader's heading navigation keys to move directly to the text question when it's presented. The chime represents a change in content. From our friend Ricky Enger, who is our key operations person at Xerotech, so this is helpful. Is there a way as the presenter to go back and review questions you've already answered? There currently is not, and I think that's a good suggestion because one of the things I'd like to see in our next version of Accessible Event is the option for holding the questions off to the side and then revisiting them later, even previewing them. So we're having some good discussions about other features that would be nice to have, so luxury items as we move forward and continually enhance and improve the product. Another question here. The screen reader will only read questions automatically if you have captions enabled. Good help. Thank you. What do participants see if the presenter places focus on their Windows desktop, Windows Explorer, etc.? It does look at your email if you are using Outlook, and if you using just your desktop, I believe it will maintain focus on the most current document that you had up when you left them, the last document you brought focus to, so to speak. And so I believe, let me see, I'm going to put it on my desktop now. So I believe I'm going to leave you at the last document that we were on so that you don't know if the presenter needs to exit and go out and look at something and come back. Also, if the presenter needs to go back into Accessible Event and look for themselves on something else, you would not see any of their login information. So for example, if I wanted to bring you out to Yahoo, for example, and show you Facebook, but then I logged into my Facebook, you would not be able to see my login credentials, and it would basically give you a little message saying, you can't come in here. You know what? Somebody is using a Mac tonight, and I really appreciate, Mike, that you asked this question. The problem that we're having is exactly what you've articulated, and that is that we don't have a flash solution yet for Mac products. However, we think we may have a workaround, and so we do have some people hard at work diligently trying to make sure that we can be truly universal for all those Mac users as well. So appreciate your patience with that. Is there a limit of how many participants at any one time? But yes, as a matter of fact, if you are purchasing the $9.95 version for a one-day pass, you're limited to 5 participants in that meeting. If you are purchasing the $14.95 pass for a day, you're limited to 25 people per meeting, but then you can buy additional blocks of 25 people for $10 each. And the same goes for monthly and annual. You can buy additional blocks of 25 participants for the monthly and annual as well. If you're going to have an enormous event, say you're going to have a trade show and you're going to have 10,000 people and it's a virtual trade show, give me a call and we'll just make sure that we get you set up so you don't have to keep buying blocks of 25 at $10 a piece. Will Accessible Event be available for mobile devices, either for presenting or attending a presentation? Currently, you can use it on your PDA if that PDA has internet access and flash on it. We're also looking at all kinds of new things for the future, but currently you can do that with PDAs if they are properly outfitted. Now, unfortunately, what happens sometimes, you get to a trade show, for example, and you're going to the breakout sessions. Sometimes they don't have internet access in the trade show building because they want the exhibitors to have to purchase it. And also sometimes you're in a building where your cell service just doesn't work, and so you can't even get decent connectivity. So in that case, we're somewhat limited at this point. The chime alert is by design to notify attendees that content has changed. This is helpful if an attendee has finished reading a particular document and is no longer looking at the screen. It's helpful to know when there is a new content. This is a good point from Ricky Inger. Thank you so much for sharing that. Also, you may wish to note that attendees can go out and do other things while they are participating in the event. They can toggle and go out to the internet, for example. So I have had the question from people saying, well, can we run a SurveyMonkey survey while we're in an accessible event and show the tabulation? Well, the presenter would show the website being, you know, of all the tabulation, can send the attendees out to the web on their own to vote or cast their opinions and toggle back to accessible event to see the tabulation on the presenter's screen. If you have any questions about surveying, I can help you with that. But I want to also let you know that when you exit an event, if you're the presenter and you're closing out, I mentioned at the beginning that you can customize the message. So if I close and you're still in the meeting, you're going to get a little message saying, you know, thank you for participating, the meeting's over. And then if somebody does want to come in and view the archive, you can put that on the exit message, or the next time they log in using the same meeting code, the highlighted area that says that you can view the archive. So tonight's program will be archived for anyone who wants to watch it later. And I have another question. How long can an accessible event be archived? Can it be archived locally on someone's own computer? Currently, the CiraTech computers or servers are where the events are archived if you have a daily, monthly, or annual subscription to the service. If you are purchasing the enterprise level, then it would remain on the server of the organization that purchased the enterprise license. And it will stay there forever until the presenter decides to delete it. And the presenter may delete it right away. Also, if the presenter ever gives out the same meeting code and has a second meeting using the same code, it will overwrite. So if you want to maintain the archive, don't have the same meeting at that same code. Start a second meeting and or a second event and give out a different code for that. So if there are no further questions, I'm going to go ahead and close the event so you can see what the exit message looks like. Oops, we have one more question. Are any statistics captured and saved by accessible events, such as participant names, totals, time participants stayed in the meeting, similar to what is offered by GoToMeeting? What is captured in the archive is essentially what has come from the presenter's screen. So it would be the audio, the video, the captioning, the questions, basically this whole event as though it were recorded. So to my knowledge, it does not show who attended or how long they stayed. I can bring up a list of attendees as mentioned earlier. And so if I'm the presenter, I can take a peek and see if somebody has taken off early or left class early, so to speak. But I don't believe that that's caught in the archive, but somebody correct me on staff if that's not the case. Can a presenter generate their own event codes? Oh, I see what you're asking. You're asking, can you create them based on your own numeric system? No, currently the event codes are created for you once you create the event. But you can name the event anything you want, and you can decide when it expires. So you can set an expiration date of a certain date, and then people won't be able to attend anymore. If you are hiring a captioner, they will have a separate code as well. So those are generated automatically for you. Before I close out the event, I wanted to let you know that, of course, at accessibleevent.com, you can get a lot of information. If you ever want to email me, you can email accessibleevent@cirotech.com, and that will come to me, and we will help you with whatever questions you have, or hopefully some of the questions that we had in this event, we can follow up with you if my comrades are catching all of the names, and we will get back to you. Overall, in future CiraTalk Tech Chats with answers to questions that pertain to everyone. So thank you so much for participating, and as I close the host, hopefully you'll see my exit message. Have a good evening.